single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Welcome to Living Life. Do you know sometimes when we look at the death of people, we think that those who have lived a long life have lived a long life because they have lived righteously and have lived a life that was pleasing to God. And then those, on the other hand, those who have lived a life that has been cut off or shortened or where a premature death results, we think that that's because they have not lived a life that is pleasing to God. However, we're going to see in this passage that there's an exception that's made. God actually will cut short the life of a righteous person to spare them from evil or judgment or even coming destruction. Like with Josiah, King Josiah, who was actually a good king among many evil kings in the southern kingdom of Israel, Josiah actually found the book of the law and used the book of the law, the book of the Mosaic law, to turn the people back to God, to turn them back to repentance. And because of that, God said that he would not see the coming destruction of the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, which actually occurred 23 years after his death. So God sometimes will spare the righteous when there's coming destruction or there's evil. So we can't always look at a life and say that must have been a life that was righteously lived because it was full of years and lived. That person lived a long time. We must also consider the ways of God. When God prematurely takes a life, he's actually doing it mercifully to deliver them. So let's take a look at the passage and see what the passage says about this.
Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 through 13. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you sons of a sorceress, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. They are your lot. Yes, to them you have poured out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In the light of these things should I relent. You have made your bed on a high and lofty hill. There you went up to offer your sacrifices. Behind your doors and your doorposts you have put your pagan symbols. Forsaking me, you uncovered your bed. You climbed into it and opened it wide. You made a pact with those whose beds you love, and you looked on their nakedness. You went to Moloch with olive oil and increased your perfumes. You sent your ambassadors far away. You descended to the grave itself. You were wearied by all your ways, but you would not say it is hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you have been false to me, and have neither remembered me nor pondered this in your hearts? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain.
Welcome back to Living Life. Let's take a look at the passage. And in the passage that we're going to look at today in Isaiah 57, it's really interesting in the passage because as we look at it, we see God's hand involved in the lives of the righteous and those who are unrighteous. There's an apostasy, there's a falling away. But God is kind of making a distinction here between the righteous and unrighteous. As I mentioned earlier with King Josiah, he allowed King Josiah to die early, but not just die early, but die in peace. So there's this idea of dying, but dying in peace. One can die early or prematurely, but not necessarily die in peace. But King Josiah died in peace. So God is saying that sometimes the righteous will be taken early from this world and they will die in peace. This is a merciful thing. This is a honorable thing that God is doing for them. So this is one of the things that the passage talks about. So when he makes that distinction, he then God kind of talks about in this passage the non-righteous, and he kind of brings charges against them. He talks about what they have done to fulfill and carry out their unrighteous acts. So what does he say in this indictment? This indictment or charges is kind of like a prosecutor. When the prosecutor comes and brings charges against someone, he's really talking about all the things that this particular person has done. And it's usually in some kind of chronological order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different charges. Here, God is kind of doing the same thing when he talks about the charges. The first thing is he talks about their false religion of the people of the southern kingdom of Israel. He talks about the acts involved with sorcery. We know that in the scriptures that sorcery is abhorrent to God and it is blasphemous to God to engage in sorcery. But also he talks about false religions from the standpoint of fertility gods. Now, the people were actually engaging in sexual relations for the pursuit of their crops and their families and their livestock with these false fertility gods. And what's interesting about that, it went right in the face of what God was saying to them about being loyal and not being involved with idols. So they were turning away from God, turning to these fertility gods rather than the true and the living God. In addition to that, not only did they engage in sexual relations, but their sexual relations and their acts were very flagrant, very open, very obvious, in the face of God. In addition to that, God talks about the fact that they would go to the hillside or go to the mountains and try to find these green trees to have sexual relations under. Supposedly under these green trees, it would bring them in tune or in touch with nature rather than in touch with the Creator who is forever praised. Romans 1:18 talks about this, and this is one of the reasons for the coming judgment that Romans talks about, that they have turned away from God, and they have moved, and they have sought out creation above God, rather than turning to the Creator who is forever praised, the one who has made that creation. So we're seeing the same thing occur here in the Old Testament in this particular passage. Now, God was talking to them from the standpoint of turning them back to Him. God doesn't want to leave us in that place. He loves us too much, and he wanted to turn us back. So he said that even despite these charges that God made against them, the people refused to give up their sinful ways. In fact, God is saying that they essentially lost the fear of him. So Isaiah is pointing out all of these things that God is speaking through him. He's speaking the words of God and saying the people have essentially lost their fear of God. Not only have they lost their fear of God, but God was saying and through Isaiah that he surmises that the people have lost their fear because God is silent. Sometimes we think we don't hear God, that it is okay to continue in a particular act, or maybe God doesn't see it or God doesn't know about it. But as we can see from this passage, God is saying, just because you think I've been silent doesn't mean that I'm not still there watching what you are doing and seeing what you are doing. So in this particular passage, we can even apply it to our own lives to know that God is always there, always watching, always seeing what we're doing. And when we lose the fear of God, we lose the steps, we lose life itself, because the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We lose wisdom in our lives, we lose judgment, we lose direction in our lives because we lose the fear of God. But there's an encouraging word at the end. The encouraging word that says, whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. So God holds out hope that we will take refuge in him rather than continuing in our ways. Are you turning back to God, or are you continuing in your rebellion? God says those who take refuge in him, those who seek him, will inherit his holy mountain. Today is the day for you to take refuge in God. Today is the day for you to hear his voice, to seek his face, and turn to him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time, this opportunity. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can hear your word and that your word will resonate and does resonate through our hearts, Lord, that we may turn to you, seek your face, and come into your holy presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer.